ATC is go.
Pegasus is go.
ATC is go.
Copy us is go.
Houston flight is go.
Polycom.
STM is go.
Safety comms is go.
STU is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Site Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people.
On RSPRadio1.com. Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, and Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. Yep, it's Tuesday night. It is the 23rd of November, and good evening, Diane.
Good evening, Craig, and what is it, 2.5 more days or 2.25 more days until Turkey Day?
That's it, yeah. Yeah, now right off the bat, we should tell people, do a little housekeeping work here. Tell people that we'll get tonight's show in, and then we're going to take a little time off. We'll be off this coming Friday and a week from tonight. We'll be back a week from this coming Friday.
Right. And it kind of makes sense because people have, you know, family coming in from out of town or they're traveling out of town. And Friday is Black Friday. And I don't think anyone wants to hang around waiting for us.
You know, that's kind of the way I look at it. You know, we need a long weekend just like everybody else.
Yes, because you want to know something, folks? The news, except for the unfortunate incidents in Wisconsin, the news is the same. It's recycled nonsense over and over again. It seems like nothing is changing.
It's crazy. I mean, when you look at the 24/7 news cycle, it's stuck.
It is.
It's like Groundhog's Day.
It is. You know, the only good thing that's happened is Kyle Rittenhouse, you know, acquittal on all 5 charges leveled against him. And then, you know, that's the good thing. But now, you know, we have the bad things about the economy and Biden's latest move, you know, with the oil. Oh, yes, I'm releasing oil. Guess what, folks? The oil is going to China.
He's not releasing oil. He's just passing gas. Ask Camilla over at the royal family. Let me tell people what we got coming up tonight, because obviously we are going to deal with the situation in Waukesha, Wisconsin. But when we're done with that, and that's going to be our first segment tonight, Diane, this is our Thanksgiving special, by the way, folks.
Yes, it is.
Diane, you're covering Thanksgiving, born of politics, tempered by tradition.
Yes.
Okay. And I've taken on a very serious topic. Gird your giblets and pass the gravy.
Yes. That should be quite funny.
Well, so we will have some fun before the Thanksgiving special is over tonight. And you get a little bit of a history lesson, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which kind of...
that's always fun, right?
Yeah. Well, they're not going to teach it to you in school.
God, no. You learn nothing nowadays in school, right?
Yeah, you know. I mean, just be honest about it here. Okay, so Waukesha, Wisconsin. Over the weekend, they have a Christmas parade. A lot of towns, a lot of cities, a lot of small communities do that. A lot of big communities do it too. And Waukesha was no exception to the rule. They've been doing this for years and years and years. So the parade is going on. There's floats, there's marching bands, there's kids and even elderly people doing dance routines as they walk down the streets. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, comes a red Ford SUV.
Mm-hmm.
Right down the middle of the parade route. I wouldn't say it was traveling at excessive speed, but it certainly wasn't going parade slow.
No, definitely. You know?
And the driver of that vehicle, a guy by the name of Daryl Brooks, 39 years old, just started plowing over people. Just started plowing them down. Mm-hmm. Got to the past the front of the parade and drove through the barricades and just kept going.
Yes. Real shining example of a human being. But the thing that really got me and has me upset to the point that I had to write something for out when we return after Thanksgiving. You know how they made a big deal about Kyle Rittenhouse being white, but they turned even that into a racist issue?
Oh, sure.
You notice how the media is barely, if at all, reporting that Brooks is black?
I'm going to make a prediction. Mm-hmm. Okay, I was watching his initial court appearance today.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna go out on a limb, and I'm gonna say, by the time this guy gets, but by the time they set up a court date and everything, this guy, this Brooks scum, is gonna plead not guilty by reason of insanity.
I don't think he'll have to. The element will come out, and he'll be not guilty by being black.
I'm just telling you, he's sitting there in that chair today. He's wearing a bulletproof vest, and he's just rocking back and forth, just rocking back and forth, just like you see in old films and insane asylums.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you this guy's going to plead innocent by reason of insanity. He's going to try and cop an insanity plea. I don't think it'll work.
Well, he's a hardened career criminal. He was released ridiculously, without bail a couple of times, and then other times with extremely low bail. This is basically a POS that needs to be gone. Yeah. Unfortunately, Wisconsin does not have the death penalty, so the taxpayers will be paying for him to spend the rest of his life at taxpayer monies.
Right.
Taxpayer expense.
Right. Now, I've seen the video, Diane, you've seen the video of his SUV with him at the wheel plowing into people on the parade route. Mm-hmm. He aimed for them.
Yes, he did.
He literally aimed for them. He angled his vehicle so as to hit more of them.
Right.
Okay. Now, if you go all the way back, to November 5th of this year, less than 3 weeks ago, he tried to run over the mother of his children in the parking lot of the gas station in Waukesha.
Right.
So right. He's tried this before.
Yes, he has.
Now, when the judge today read Brooks's criminal record, it took almost 9 minutes. It was 58 pages long.
Mm-hmm.
Goes all the way back to 1997, I think.
It's either 97 or 99.
I think you're right. Back. I think you're right. I think it's 99. You mentioned that he had been released on ridiculously low bond. He's been released twice over the last month or month and a half, once on $500 bond, once on $1,000 bond, even though he has an outstanding warrant in Nevada for sex trafficking a minor.
Yes. Yes. That's how bad this guy is.
That's how bad the Attorney General in Wisconsin is.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
And how this stuff keeps going on and on is beyond me.
I mean, this guy never should have been out. He never should have been out.
No.
You know, a career criminal like that, 58 pages of a rap sheet, active warrants from another state, and he's just out walking around because the attorney general in Wisconsin, the district attorney there, doesn't care.
It's to the point of ridiculous. It's a Democrat, of course. You know, let's be honest here. And it just keeps going on and on. These career criminals are literally getting away with murder.
Well, in this case, the murder count is up to 6. When he first appeared in court today, it was 5 charges of intentional homicide. That is now going to be moved up to 6 counts because it was literally announced while that hearing was going on that a child had died. And in case you missed it, folks, the number of people injured has jumped from 40 to 62.
Yeah. It's unbelievable what is happening. And it's not just in Wisconsin, folks. It's all these Democrat states. They get away with crimes. And then they get out, or they, you know, get out on very low bail, and they get to do it all over again.
It seems pretty obvious from some of the evidence that we know of so far, that this was in retaliation for the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict.
Some are saying yes, some are saying no. But it's a little too, you know, close to be but a mere coincidence.
That's what I'm thinking. We'll wait and see. We'll wait and see what comes out in court.
Of course.
You know?
But they'll make all sorts of excuses for them.
Oh, hell, they already have. There's one report out there that he claimed he was fleeing from a knife fight.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I believe that.
It's just gotten so bad. It's almost like we don't know what to say anymore. This country, unfortunately, has gone to hell thanks to the Democrats in power.
You know, you said it just a couple of minutes ago. It's not just Wisconsin. I mean, you look at California. You look at Oregon, Washington, Illinois. I mean, you pick the blue state, and you got this same crap going on. You pick the blue city, you got the same crap going on.
Right.
You know, there's just no getting around it. It's a terrible thing that happened in Waukesha over the weekend. And to have it happen so close to a major holiday, you know, and I mean, actually close to 2 major holidays when you think about it, because Thanksgiving was 4 days away, you know, when this happened, and they were participating in a Christmas parade.
Exactly.
So what these families. Go ahead.
What a holiday season it's going to be for those parents who lost children, for the families that lost their loved ones, all because Wisconsin let a career criminal go.
There will never be a Thanksgiving or a Christmas for those families where this isn't in the forefront of their minds. Now, they might be able to move past it a little bit. They may be able to put on a brave face and try to celebrate, but it will always be there. Not in the back of their minds, but in the forefront of their minds.
Exactly.
You know, this is just a horrendous thing. And then you got this BLM goon that says, well, this might just be the start of a revolution.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Bring it.
BLM is more dangerous than people realize. They are a very dangerous organization.
Now, let me just put a couple of things in perspective here. Okay. This guy, this Daryl Brooks, was recently released once on $500 bail, once on $1,000 bail, to go out and walk the streets, get in his SUV, and plow through a parade, killing people. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That goofy nut that wore the raccoon hat with the buffalo horns coming out of it in the Capitol on 6th January of this year got 41 months in a federal prison. What the hell is going on here?
It's called liberal politics. It's called Obama's running the show. Let's be honest here, folks.
Sure.
Let's tell it like it is. It goes from bad to worse. It really does. And it's going to get worse until next November. If we can take back the House and increase our lead in the Senate, we'll just have a figurehead sitting up as president and vice president. And
right.
Obama will be rendered neutered, politically neutered.
So
unless we do that, we're in trouble.
I mean, obviously, we're going to keep a sharp eye on things happening there in Wisconsin, specifically now in Waukesha, Wisconsin. I don't expect a whole lot of action before we get back. I mean, he's had one initial court appearance. He will have another because now there is that one more that has died. Mm-hmm. Those are pretty much formalities. You know, like I said, we'll be back a week from this coming Friday. And, you know, we'll bring you up to date if anything has happened in that short amount of time. But, Diane, you brought this up earlier, and I just want to touch upon it. The fact that Biden is releasing oil.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're saying that you think most of this oil is going to go overseas. I tend to agree.
It is going to go overseas, and you can find it on our website tomorrow.
Now, let me, just for the sake of argument, let's crunch a few numbers on that, shall we? He is releasing how many barrels?
Oh, I don't know offhand.
50 million barrels.
I really don't.
Okay, I'm telling you, 50 million barrels.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds like a lot of barrels, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When you look at gasoline, distillate fuel oil, hydrocarbon gas liquids, jet fuel, okay, you add all of that up, in this country alone, we are burning 19.68 million barrels per day. That means the 50 million that he's releasing supposedly to bring down the cost of gas and bring down the cost of heating your home is about 2.5 days worth of the oil we use in this country.
Sure. It's that ridiculous, folks.
Yeah, if you're looking at just gasoline, think you're going to bring down the gasoline price. Right?
No.
We're using right at just a hair below 9 million barrels a day. Okay? That's 5.25 days worth of gasoline. It ain't going to make a difference, but I'll tell you what it will do. Okay, you take that out of the federal oil reserve, and let's say we have a real emergency. We get attacked by a country. Oh, I don't know. Maybe China?
Maybe China.
We've got no oil to wage a war.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, Diane, but you correct me if I'm wrong on this, because you've dealt with some of this stuff in past op-eds that you've written.
Sure.
when you deplete the federal oil reserve, isn't that actually going to make the cost of oil go up, not down?
Of course it is, and it's also going to cause rationing.
This is being done on purpose.
Yes, absolutely done.
You couldn't screw this up by accident. You couldn't make it this bad by accident. This is being done on purpose. And let's face it, Joe Biden doesn't have the mental capacity to engineer this, but we know who does.
Obama
and his financier, George Soros.
Yes. Absolutely.
I mean, the clearly obvious goal here is to absolutely ransack this country.
Yes.
You pound it into the dirt.
No question about it.
You don't make these. Look, I can understand somebody making a policy oopsie doozy. Mm-hmm. You know, oh, well, maybe we shouldn't have done that. But that's not what this is. I mean, there's a history behind this. This has been tried before. Ask Jimmy Carter.
Oh, please.
It didn't work out so well for Jimmy the Peanut Head.
No.
Yeah?
No. Oh. It just gets better and better, folks.
Unbelievable.
This administration is destroying our country. But the problem is, Craig, and I've said it before and I'll say it again, there's a lot of talk going around that we need to take our country back, but nobody's doing a damn thing. Some of us are ready, if need be.
That's the problem.
Nobody is doing anything.
Yeah. I mean, people are just kind of trying to get by, you know, they're afraid of the element, as you call them. They're afraid of the
element.
Yep, they're afraid of the cancel culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh my God, if you put a flag out, why you might lose your job. You might get canceled. You might get told by your homeowners association to get the hell out of your gated community if you're lucky enough to live in one. If you're not, you run the risk of people coming by and doing vandalism to your home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you've got crime running rampant in the streets. You got illegal aliens just pouring over the border like a tsunami. And with them comes human trafficking. With them comes the drug cartels. And with them comes fentanyl.
Right.
We're seeing a spike in overdoses and overdose deaths in this country related to fentanyl. And what a lot of people don't realize is people are trying to save some money. They are buying counterfeit prescription drugs. Okay? And what the cartel does is they lace some of those counterfeit prescriptions with tiny trace amounts of fentanyl. It doesn't take more than what will fit on the tenth of a head of a pin of fentanyl to kill somebody.
Yeah. I feel a little bit different than a lot of people about the drug trade. If someone, you know, inadvertently is getting a prescription and, you know, unfortunately gets something laced, I have great sympathy for them. For regular drug addicts buying all this stuff to get high, I have no sympathy.
I don't begrudge you that at all. I agree with you.
Okay.
But what's happening is you've got a lot of people in this country who simply can't afford to buy their prescriptions anymore.
Right. And those people I feel very sorry for.
Yeah. And they think they're getting a good deal and they're getting overdosed or killed.
Exactly.
You know, that's a real problem. Now, I can tell you because I had it in one of my local newscasts, and I'll have it in there again tomorrow up in South Dakota. Rapid City is going through a hell of a drug problem up there, and the number of people that they have arrested for having drugs up there has skyrocketed, and these are people that have never been arrested for having drugs before. So far in the little community of Rapid City, South Dakota, so far this year, they're up to, I want to say it's nearly 1,200 people.
Well, Rapid City is not a little city. That's a big city.
It's a small city when you compare it to places like Denver, when you compare it to places like Omaha. It's not a giant community. You know, people are familiar with Rapid City because there's a lot of stuff that goes on there, but it's really not a huge community. I mean, it's 50,000 at the best, I think. It's not huge, you know. And when the police up there are seeing people arresting people for having controlled substances that have never been arrested for that before, a lot of those are people that bought counterfeit prescriptions thinking they were getting a good deal, and all of a sudden they're in trouble.
The ones who are thinking they're buying prescription drugs, really thinking they're buying, you know, prescribed medications. Yes, I do have.
I feel for those people.
The others, I don't.
Yeah. I mean, the others, they're getting what they asked for, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, I mean, that's the way I feel about it. But, you know, these problems, supply chain, cost of gas and oil, the rampant inflation, drug cartels, illegal aliens, the fact that foreign countries that don't really care for us very much are laughing at us right now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, this country's going down the crapper.
Yes. I'm getting pop-ups here. Sorry, folks.
You're having fun.
No, I'm not.
Well, that's why me, you know, pop-ups are so annoying when you're trying to do something on your computer. So I was being sarcastic. You're having fun. Fun with pop-ups.
Is set up for the next segment.
Yeah, well, good luck with that.
I know.
You know, who told you could be prepared?
I know.
I mean, for goodness sakes. Well, look, folks, we only got a couple of minutes left here in this segment. We're heading full steam ahead into the Thanksgiving special portion of the program. Diane's going to be talking about Thanksgiving, born of politics, tempered by tradition. Just over a half an hour from now, I'm talking about gird your giblets and pass the gravy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know
I'm
going to be in the kitchen a good part of tomorrow, just trying to get things ready, and I'm making my pies.
Ah, okay.
Got a couple of real pumpkins I got to cut up in the morning, and then I'll be making real pumpkin pies, not out of a can, but out of a pumpkin.
Ah, okay.
Now, I always look forward to that, and so, you know, I know somebody, a personal friend of mine out here, she's cooking for 40 people.
That's insanity.
You know, Susan is doing part of our cooking. I'm doing part of our cooking, and it's just the two of us.
Mm.
You know, so we got that to look forward to all day tomorrow in the kitchen. And then Thursday, Turkey Day.
Turkey Day, time to eat.
Yep, and then time for a nap.
Well, I have company, so there's not going to be much napping. We're going to be doing things, and, you know.
That's probably better. That's probably better. You stay busy.
You know?
I mean, really, get down to it. Well, folks, we got to take a break here. Bottom of the hour. Got to get the station IDs in. When we come back, Nyan's got it with Thanksgiving, born of politics, tempered by tradition. And then after that, and a couple of more station IDs, gird your giblets and pass the gravy. There's more coming up. The Thanksgiving special on Right Side Patriots after this.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sorey. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi guys, Diane Sorey from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's long-time Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out the National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on rspradio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor, Tuesday night edition of the show, 23rd of November. If you miss any part of the Thanksgiving special, you'll want to go to rspradio1.com tomorrow, click on the podcast button, and become a pod person before Turkey Day.
Yes, and our pod listeners are growing in number, and we thank you very much.
We love the pod people.
Yes.
Good folks. Okay, so, Diane, how about a little bit of history lesson? Stuff you're not going to learn in school, by the way. Thanksgiving, born of politics, tempered by tradition.
Let's start by saying Thanksgiving, a truly American holiday at its core, yet a holiday also celebrated in Canada, some Caribbean islands, Brazil, and in Liberia as well. Thanksgiving, now predominantly a secular holiday, has its historical roots in both religious and cultural traditions. And while President George Washington proclaimed the first National Day of Thanksgiving in 1789, it was not officially celebrated annually until President Abraham Lincoln, in an 1863 proclamation, declared the last Thursday in November to be a day of thanksgiving and praise. And it remained so until 1939, when FDR moved Thanksgiving to the second to last Thursday in November, after realtors balked that Thanksgiving would fall on November 30th that year, thus cutting the Christmas buying season short. Modern-day political style lobbying of sorts, I'd say. More on the specifics of that date change in a bit. But how and why did Thanksgiving actually become the holiday we celebrate today? How did it start? How was it politicized, and why has it now morphed into a day when talk of politics is frowned upon? First, let's discuss some basics and start with the fact that Thanksgiving is most surely based upon ancient pagan harvest festivals. However, we as Americans associate Thanksgiving more with the Pilgrims, who in 1621, sometime between September 21st and November 11th, were joined by approximately 90 men from the local Wampanoag Iroquois tribe, including their chief, Massasoit, and together partook in a three-day feast. And today we equate the holiday as a day for families to gather together to break bread, as well as to thank God for his blessings and for the bountiful Thanksgiving meal spread out before us. But two things most people don't know is that first, the pilgrims themselves were not actually associated with Thanksgiving until the 19th century after Forefathers' Day became a holiday now long forgotten, when the pilgrims became known as the face of liberty, if you will, as well as there being the precursor of the founding fathers. And second, the pilgrims were not the first to celebrate a day of Thanksgiving. That act honor should actually go to the Popham colony of Maine, who celebrated the day on their arrival in America in 1607. Now, as to certain political aspects of Thanksgiving, know that the politicizing of Thanksgiving goes all the way back to the days of George Washington, when his 1789 call for a national Thanksgiving to give thanks for the opportunity to form a new nation and for the establishment of a new constitution did spark controversy among those in Congress. How so? Simply, some members of Congress saw in Washington's proposal an exercising of power that they believed belonged solely to the individual states, while at the same time other members of Congress felt that Washington's Thanksgiving proposal actually violated the guarantee of a separation of church and state, paraphrasing used by Thomas Jefferson and others in their expressing an understanding of the intent and function of both the Establishment Clause and the Free Exercise Clause of the First Amendment, the very amendment, Craig, which Congress had just debated.
So the very first issuance of a day of Thanksgiving was not without, let's say, controversy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But you know, the article, you know, the op-ed that you've written says tempered by tradition. So has that controversy also been tempered over the past 200 plus years?
Yes. Now, overlooked was the fact that in Washington's proclaiming Thanksgiving as a national day of Thanksgiving, he was embracing people of all faiths, not just those of one specific faith. And while the pilgrims did indeed come to our shore seeking religious and economic freedom, on Thanksgiving Day 2021, Americans of all faiths and Americans of no faith are free to give thanks or not, free to feast together with family and friends, or go about the day's business as they so choose. And while religious days of thanks were long observed in all of America's 13 colonies ever since the time of the pilgrims, it wasn't until October 1777 that all of said colonies celebrated a day of Thanksgiving. And it actually was the after-church meals that had become the norm by the beginning of the 18th century that led to what became the holiday we know today as Thanksgiving. And that all began when in 1846, the woman who became known as the Mother of Thanksgiving, Sarah Josepha Hale, author of the nursery rhyme, Mary Had a Little Lamb, became the editor of Godey's Lady's Book, a popular magazine of her time. Using her position to seek grassroots support for her campaign for a national day of Thanksgiving, a great American festival, she called it, a campaign she hoped would become a unifying holiday that would avert a civil war. And while Sarah Josepha Hale's wish did not come to fruition, in 1863, in the midst of the Civil War, President Abraham Lincoln asked all Americans to set aside the last Thursday in November as a day of Thanksgiving, a day to unify a country divided, saying in part, quote, "The year that is drawing towards its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. No human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the highest God. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea, and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and a prayer to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. And Craig, yet while today Thanksgiving has become a mostly secular holiday, it's still a holiday that honors its religious roots with politics, sadly, still hovering overhead.
Well, so the origins of Thanksgiving, if you go all the way back to Washington, and even Abe Lincoln, as far as that's concerned, there was controversy there because it was this a religious holiday? Was this a political holiday? What the heck was it? So that was a source of controversy, but it wasn't the only controversy because dilly-dallying about with the date was also controversial, wasn't it?
Right. Yes. Now let's fast forward to 1939 and FDR's questionable decision to change the date of Thanksgiving, a decision that did not sit well in many individual state houses, nor with certain governors who felt FDR's decision was an overstep of presidential authority. As I previously stated, in 1939, the last Thanksgiving, the last Thursday of November, was going to fall on November 30th, thus leaving retailers complaining to FDR that this left but 24 shopping days till Christmas. The retailers then requested, begged actually, the president to officially roll back Thanksgiving 1 week after it had been determined that most people do their Christmas shopping after Thanksgiving, with the hope an extra week of shopping would allow folks to purchase more. And FDR caved and rolled back Thanksgiving 1 week, which immediately caused a lot of confusion, with the result of said decision being that half the country chose to celebrate Thanksgiving on one day, while the other half chose to do so on another day. Also, already printed calendars were now incorrect, school vacations and tests had to be rescheduled, and Thanksgiving football schedules were all askew. And it also saw political opponents of FDR, opponents like then Atlantic City's Mayor Charles D. White, who derogatorily called November 23rd Franksgiving, rightfully questioning the president's right to change the holiday by focusing their ire on FDR's breaking of precedent and total disregard for tradition just to appease businesses, just to appease retailers. Simply, the power of the dollar won out over common sense and an American tradition. And to make matters worse, the economy saw no boost in spending because of the day change. In fact, most businesses reported that spending was approximately the same as before the date change, but that the actual distribution of shopping had changed. How so? In those states that did celebrate Thanksgiving on the earlier November 30th date, the shopping was evenly distributed throughout the season. But in those states that kept the traditional last Thursday date, businesses saw most shopping occurring in just the last week before the Christmas holiday. In other words, Craig, FDR's changing Thanksgiving's now traditional date was all for naught, leaving Congress on December 26, 1941, to pass a law declaring that Thanksgiving would now fall on the fourth Thursday of every November, as it has remained to this day.
Okay, so we're getting this history lesson, right? Mm-hmm. We've got early controversy. We've got mid-range controversy when it comes to the date. But as we move into more current times, okay, didn't George W. Bush bring up some controversial stuff at a Thanksgiving not all that long ago?
Yeah, well, like you said, it brings us up to current times where partisan politics colored Thanksgiving Day 2003. When good intentional gestures were turned into political fodder of the very worst kind. Remember back to November 27, 2003, when just a mere 8 months after the start of the Iraq War, when insurgents' attack on U.S. troops were the norm, when then-President George W. Bush, in his rightful role as commander-in-chief, paid a surprise Thanksgiving visit to American troops in Baghdad, an unannounced visit for obvious security reasons. Sharing a meal with 600 members of the 1st Armored Division and the 82nd Airborne Division stationed in a military mess hall at the Baghdad International Airport, Mr. Bush stayed for 2.5 hours, jokingly saying while wearing an army jacket that, quote, "I was just looking for a warm meal somewhere," end quote. Bush became heartful with his words, quote, "I can't think of a finer group of folks to have Thanksgiving dinner with than you all," end quote. With our president then adding that, quote, "You are defending the American people from danger, and we are grateful. You are defeating the terrorists here in Iraq," end quote. And the response from our troops included many soldiers jumping to their feet, pumping fists in the air, roaring with delight and grabbing their cameras to snap photographs. Private Patrick McFarland of the 1st Armored Division did sum it up best with his words that, quote, "It helps a lot knowing that the commander-in-chief himself is going to come out here and make some of the same sacrifices away from his family, away from his home, to show that he is devoted in the same position that we are," end quote. And yet, President Bush was slammed by the Democrats, who claimed that his surprise visit was for political show alone, what with the 2004 election coming up. Craig, such utter and complete nonsense. As President George W. Bush truly supported and honored those who both wear and wore the uniform of our country, and I believe he still does.
Look, I disagree with Bush on a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's not one of them. That's not one of them. You know, his steadfast belief in our armed services and the people that are in them never wavered. But Bush, right. W., he wasn't the last president to do such a thing.
No. Well, there's President Donald Trump, who in 2019 made a surprise visit to Afghanistan on Thanksgiving Day to address American troops in what was his first trip to the country. Landing in Afghanistan at 11:03 a.m. EST on Air Force One after a 13-hour secret overnight flight out of an undisclosed airport in Florida, Trump visited troops at Bagram Airfield, where he not only thanked the men and women for their service, calling them, quote, "courageous American warriors," but he helped serve Thanksgiving dinner to roughly 24 troops at the airfield's dining facility. Words felt and services rendered for those men and women President Trump truly loved and honored, for he knew well that these are the folks who put their lives on the line every day to keep us safe at home. And yet he too was slammed by both the liberal media and the Democrats for putting on what they deemed to be but a political dog and pony show, which is so far from the truth. For President Trump rebuilt our military that had been dishonored, defamed, and apologized for by his Democrat predecessor. Like I said, shameful partisan politics rearing its ugly head, specifically on Thanksgiving Day, a day when politics should truly always be frowned upon. Why so? Let's start by saying that while we do live in a less overtly religious age than did the pilgrims, George Washington or Sarah Josepha Hale, it would be a mistake to claim, as some do, that Thanksgiving is not a religious holiday in some respects. After all, we do, most of us do anyway, say prayers to thank God for the many blessings he has bestowed upon us. Thanksgiving should be a time of tranquility, harmony, and family togetherness, a time to catch up on the newest happenings of family members, a time to chow down on what is possibly the biggest, most bountiful meal of the year. Simply, Thanksgiving must never be interrupted by those family members itching for a political argument with other family members, family members not of their same political persuasion. Prejudice and divisiveness should have no place at the Thanksgiving table. For remember, political disagreements may many times can sour even the best of meals, and it certainly must not be allowed to sour the Thanksgiving Day meal. And if truth be told, there are plenty of other days, plenty of other meals for that. And so I say happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Enjoy the Thanksgiving Day parade. Enjoy your Thanksgiving meal. And relish in knowing that turkey leftovers will be your dinner for many days.
You know, so I just want to make sure I'm getting this right. Because, you know, Thanksgiving's coming up. Man, we're only a couple of days away. What you're saying here at the end of this op-ed, which, by the way, is titled Thanksgiving, Born of Politics, Tempered by Tradition, what you're saying at the very end of this op-ed is that it would be wrong to end the Thanksgiving meal prayer with "Let's go, Brandon"?
Well, maybe this year that should be allowed. We always, you know, have exceptions. All rules are meant to be broken one way or another. So, yeah, we can say, let's go, Brandon.
Let's go, Brandon. Amen.
Yes.
I mean, I don't want to create a faux pas at the table.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so since you delved into this at the end of the op-ed, I figured you were the one to ask.
Yeah. And it is, you know, a special year, so why not?
Why not? Now, I'll go back to 2003, and that's when George W. Bush went over to Baghdad mm-hmm. for Thanksgiving. We were having Thanksgiving with our friends Connie and Rory in Lincoln, Nebraska. And I don't know if I think we were in the process of eating, but I couldn't swear to that. But we had Fox News on, and okay. All of a sudden, holy cow, there was the President of the United States
yes.
walking into that hangar at Baghdad International Airport, and we're all like, hey, 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 look at this, look at this. I mean, yeah. We were so proud. We yes. were so proud. The President of the United States flew halfway around the world mm-hmm. to spend a few hours with our yes. troops in a war zone.
I remember that well.
Mm-hmm. You know, that was quite something, I thought. Democrats, like you say in the op-ed, they didn't really cotton to that very well.
No, nothing that makes our military or our country look good.
Yeah.
And having the president give up his personal time with family to be with our troops is such a slap in the face to the liberal ideology.
Can you even imagine the logistics that go into flying the President of the United States into an airfield in the middle of a war zone?
No.
Holy crap.
No, it's mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling, seriously.
That's astounding. And then they did it again with Trump.
Yes. And, you know, for all President Trump has done to rebuild the damage that Obama called, the apologizing for our troops, the cutting of the funding
right.
for bringing all that woke nonsense into the military, even though they might have not called it woke then, it was still the same nonsense. President Trump brought honor back to our military that Obama took away. And yet, the media, the Democrats, they nailed him for it.
Yeah. Well, Trump could have cured cancer, and they'd have found something wrong with that. You know,
of course.
It didn't matter what he did. They were going to condemn him for it. And luckily, he didn't care. He knew the right thing to do was to go over there and be with the troops. He knew it.
That was the right thing to do, and he did it. Absolutely.
You know, I mean, it's a long and storied history of Thanksgiving that we have in this country, politically and traditionally. And I think you've done a great job of going through all of it. Obviously, there's more to it than what you're able to get into a single op-ed, but this is stuff, like I said before you started in on this, people aren't going to hear, the kids aren't going to hear this in school.
No, they won't hear any of this history. Maybe after 2022 they might, but not right now.
Yeah. So it bears reading and it bears sharing. So I would invite people to go to Diane's blog, thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, or RSP Radio 1, that would be the number one, rspradio1.com, and get the link. You can click on it right there and then share. Copy that link and share everywhere.
Yeah.
It's a great read. And, you know, with Thanksgiving coming up, the kids are going to be home and everything, maybe I'd just read this before you sit down and have Thanksgiving dinner so people know some of the history of the day.
Yeah, people forget American history because American history has become like a pariah to the liberals and, you know, in control of our country. And we cannot forget American history.
No.
We're the greatest nation that ever existed.
We need to revive some of that.
We need to bring pride in that back again.
Yes. Yes, and this is one way to do it. All right, I know we're a couple minutes early here from the top of the hour, but I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and take the top of the hour break and get those station IDs in. When we come back, I'll be talking about gird your giblets and pass the gravy. And you know what? If we can wrap that segment up a little bit early, our holiday and everybody else's starts just that much quicker.
Okay, I have no problem with that.
All right, stay with us, folks. There's more Right Side Patriots after this.
Hi, guys. Diane Sorey from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out the National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sorey. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor, the Thanksgiving special of the year.
Mm-hmm.
We've had enough of the silliness, Diane. It's now time to get deadly serious about Thanksgiving.
Oh, yes. Very deadly serious.
What? What are you saying? What exactly are you trying to say?
I'm trying to say, be prepared for a lot of snark, folks.
And as always, there are hidden truths in the snark.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Gird your giblets and pass the gravy. It's Thanksgiving, and I know what you're thinking. It's that time of the year when we get together with family and friends to share in all the things for which we're grateful. We look back and forward to the feast of Turkey Day, past and present, to yams, to mashed potatoes and stuffing, not to mention the gravy, the green bean casserole, and of course, the pumpkin pies. We look forward to traveling or having guests in our own homes, and all the fun, the laughter, and the fellowship that just seems to be so needed this time of the year. But you can't have any of it. Not this year. Not ever again. It's over. Thanksgiving has been canceled by the liberal Marxist culture killjoys. As it turns out, the very first Thanksgiving back in 1621 was nothing but an exercise in white supremacy, and we should all be ashamed of it now. Those pilgrims came over here on a damned yacht. They packed up all of their upper middle class things, all of their fancy clothes and their white collar dreams of financial independence, and they moved to a whole new world. The Indians couldn't do that because they were oppressed due to Chris Columbus having never set foot on the shores of America and having never laid eyes on them. This new land of opportunity would have been much more opportunistic had a bunch of crackers on a yacht never decided to give this place a go. Obviously, it was the corporate mentality of the pilgrims that ruined it for everybody. Naturally, when Whitey got here, they had no idea what to do. They didn't even know how to grow corn, and they just barely got by that first winter. Excuse me, had it not been for the Indians, who weren't really Indians at all because they had no ability to do tech support on the pilgrims' computers, those fancy, buckled, shoe-wearing yahoos would have never made it through the next year. The Indians, who weren't Indians because they weren't from India, showed the pilgrims how to plant, fertilize, and harvest their crops, and the pilgrims showed the Indian men, who weren't Indians at all, how to wear pants. And Diane, the Indian women, who were no more Indians than were the Indian men, who weren't Indians at all, they showed them how to wear dresses, which, if we're being honest, gave pilgrim men a lot less to be thankful for.
Well, you have quite a unique little political take on that as well, don't you?
Well, yeah, I suppose I do. Our history books,
yes, you do.
Yeah, I suppose. Our history books seem to have omitted all of that. And once you hear of it, you can clearly understand why Thanksgiving must be canceled forevermore. Know this, and know it well. Simple white privilege isn't the only reason we must cancel this holiday. There's the whole gender bias thing, too. That's right. Mm-hmm. Those privileged white pilgrims who didn't even have a stove upon which to cook their feast came over here with all their gender bias intact. They were arrogant to the point of actually believing that boys were boys, girls were girls, and that was that. They had not a clue that there were, in fact, another 56 genders from which they could choose. Idiots. Now, take the Indians who weren't Indians as a primary example here. They had no such bias. In fact, those Indians who weren't even close to being Indians were woke. Not that any of them, so far as we know, were part of the LGBTQEIEIO non-Indian community. But they were all doing a pretty fair job of pretending to be Indians. Some of them actually self-identified as Indians, even though none of them ever entertained the idea of managing a 7-Eleven or a Motel 6. Not one of those oppressed Indians who weren't Indians ever claimed to be so much as even a wee bit happy, much less gay, except for Squanto. Squanto, also known as Tisquantum, was of the Pawtuxet tribe. This immediately set him apart from the Pilgrims, who were Presbyterians. Tisquantum had been kidnapped by an Englishman and sold into slavery in Spain in 1614, which had nothing whatsoever to do with the Pilgrims, who did not arrive on the Mayflower yacht until 1620, and yet the Pilgrims are blamed for everything Columbus didn't actually do. Tisquantum escaped slavery in Spain, and what did he do? Well, he found his way back to the tribe in Plymouth. Good for him, Diane, but it's what he did next that's a bit of a head-scratcher when you consider that the reason we must cancel Thanksgiving is all our fault. Squanto, also known as Tisquantum, got himself a blue-collar job as an interpreter and a guide for the very Pilgrim settlers at Plymouth that the cancel culture is blaming for everything.
Well, I think you have an extremely funny taste on what Squanto actually was. Not what we think he was, but only a very special, unique take on what he was.
Well, let's just put it this way, shall we? Squanto went to work for the man, guiding them around, interpreting between the Presbyterians and the Pawtuxet, and decorating their homes. Squanto wasn't gay, per se. Squanto was actually a transgender gay man who self-identified as a bisexual lesbian who seemed rather queer to the Presbyterians. The Pilgrims really didn't care that Squanto was a bit different, and their attitude about it was, let Squanto be Squanto and just don't try to drag us into his fantasy world and don't rile him up. That don't rile him up part came right after Squanto pitched a hissy fit and bitch-slapped Miles Standish when Standish questioned the frilly French ruffles on the window treatments of his cabin. After all, Squanto, also known as Tisquantum, was just one of the village's people. Now, had the history books left that factual account of Squanto in the story, things might be a bit different today. We might not need to cancel every part of Thanksgiving, but because it was removed from our history, it points to gender bias, and according to the cancel culture, no turkey for you. And here's another thing. The menu for the first Thanksgiving. There was meat on that menu, turkey, deer, ducks, and geese. For the hors d'oeuvres, yet another example of white privilege, included muskrat, pate, and swan fingers. Do you even know how much greenhouse gas is produced by waterfowl and deer? Not to mention that all of it had to be cooked on an open fire? Those Pilgrims hadn't been here but a year, and they were already leaving a huge carbon footprint. Diane, of course, today, unless you intend to cook your Thanksgiving feast by holding it under your arm until it reaches 98.6 degrees, eating anything other than lawn clippings has been canceled. And let's face it, nobody wants seconds on Grandma's armpit stuffing.
Well, you know, you had a unique take on Squanto and other of the key players. And I think you're leaving out Pocahontas, aren't you?
Well,
wasn't she quite unique?
Well, she was quite unique, and maybe not quite in the way people think. Okay? I mean, look, it may not be enough to convince you to cancel Thanksgiving, what I've told you so far, but there is the whole matter of Pocahontas. In every school play you have ever seen regarding the first Thanksgiving, some kid has to be Pocahontas. It used to be a role played exclusively by little girls, but now anybody can be Pocahontas if they want to be. Mm-hmm. Anyway, she wasn't even there at the first Thanksgiving. In 1621, Pocahontas was in England. Specifically, okay. She was in Gravesend, England, and more specifically, she was in St. George's Church, Gravesend, England. More specifically, yet, Pocahontas was under St. George's Church in Gravesend, England, because by 1621, Pocahontas had been dead and voting Democrat for nearly 3 years. You see, Pocahontas, also known as Rebecca, had been taken hostage and held for ransom by the colonists during a dust-up with the Indians, who weren't really Indians at all, back in 1613, and she converted from the Powhatan tribe to Presbyterian, after which she married tobacco planter John Rolfe. Mr. and Mrs. Rolfe, as they became known, then traveled to England, where Rebecca became a high society woman of some standing. Pocahontas, a.k.a. Rebecca Rolfe, quit fogging a mirror in about 1617. And the cause of her death officially remains unknown to this day, but let's just assume, for the sake of the cancel culture, that white privilege didn't do anything to extend her life. That's right, she was murdered by white privilege. Cancel Thanksgiving. Cancel the parades with the giant balloons. Cancel traveling to grandmother's house. Cancel the turkey. Cancel the stuffing and the pumpkin pies. Cancel the football games, the school plays, and the Peanuts Thanksgiving special. And know that if you get caught having a family feast or giving thanks for anything, you're nothing but an anti-vaxxed, white-privileged domestic terrorist, and your job is on the line. Personally, I'll risk it, thanks very much, and don't even start with me on how the pilgrims spread disease amongst the Indians who weren't even real Indians. I blame Squanto, who most likely gave William Bradford a hands-free goose when Bradford bent over to buckle his shoes. Gird your giblets and pass the gravy. Happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's funny.
Did I cover all the bases? Have I offended nearly everyone?
I think you are an equal opportunity offender.
Well, I tried. I didn't want to leave anybody out.
Okay, you got them all.
You know, I mean, but like I said, there are nuggets of truth scattered about in there.
Yes. That's the whole thing. There's a lot of truth in there.
You know, especially when you think about Pocahontas, look up the actual story of Pocahontas. You'll be amazed.
Yeah, people think that, you know, she was here all the time. No, she wasn't.
She was not here at all. She never celebrated a single Thanksgiving. She was dead 4 years, almost, 3.5, maybe almost 4 years, before there was ever a Thanksgiving feast with the Indians. She was dead.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, why we stick her in that story is beyond me.
But we do.
That's part of the tradition you talked about.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
I mean, look, certain elements of Thanksgiving obviously have been romanticized.
Oh, of course.
You know, and condensed and things like that. And, you know, you don't, until you really start looking at it, until you really start reading the journals of William Bradford and some of the other people that were actually there in 1620 and 21, you don't really have a clue what actually went on.
No, you don't. You really don't.
Folks,
a lot of it not only has been, you know, made up, but actually politicized. And,
well,
you know, you try to change history, but you really can't change history.
I tried to take all the politics out of this for people.
Yes.
I tried to keep this political free. I just told the facts and nothing but the facts.
You broke every rogue rule in existence. Which is a good thing.
Well, and, you know, most people don't realize that there were color photos of Squanto.
Yes.
I've got them.
Yes. The best photo, folks, even if you don't want to laugh, you've got to see the last photo in his article. It is the most pathetic little turkey face you had ever seen. It would make you want to never touch a piece of turkey again.
Ah, it just makes me hungry.
Oh, no, that is the sweetest little face.
Yes, makes me hungry. Folks, you can get this commentary two places. You can go to thenationalpatriot.com or rspradio1.com. Just like with Diane's op-ed, we ask that you grab the link and share everywhere. If you want to have a good laugh before Thanksgiving, read this one. If you want a little history before Thanksgiving, read Diane's.
Yeah, they're very different.
You know? But there's elements of truth, and there's elements of history, and there's fun to be had. And that's really what Thanksgiving is all about. Yes, giving thanks. Yes, we get that.
Yes.
But it's a time to get together and share with other people and laugh with other people. We could all use a laugh right about now.
Yeah, I think we can. You know, it's a very strange world we're in right now.
It is. Like I said, we're going to be keeping an eye on what's going on in Waukesha, Wisconsin. We will not be back until a week from this Friday. So
right. We
don't expect a whole lot to happen with that case until then. But if something does happen, you know, we probably put something up on maybe our Facebook walls. We'll see how that goes. But everybody, you know, it's time to just sit back and relax a little bit.
Yeah. Enjoy friends and family and give politics a rest for a little bit.
That's what we're going to do.
Yes.
And with that, Diane,
hey,
I think
I'm going to the Keys. I'm going to have some fun.
I'm not going anywhere. And I'm still going to have fun. But I think it's time, even though it's a little early, I think it's time we wrap this up, get people off to their Thanksgiving breaks 15 minutes ahead of time.
No problem with that.
Say goodnight.
Good
night,
everybody.
Good night, everybody. Have a great Thanksgiving. We'll see you in about a week and a half.